KARE.
San Antonio's news, traffic, and weather station. News Talk 550 KTSA and FM 1071.
KTSA News Time 421, late afternoon Thursday on KTSA. You're always invited at 210-599-5555 or email me, jack@ktsa.com. Big story today. We're asking you about it on the Stevens Roofing JR poll. The governor pausing the reopening of the state and pausing elective surgeries in the big metro counties, including Bexar County, because of the coronavirus numbers. Let's bring back, and we're very glad to have him back on our KTSA Kinetico Quality Water Softeners Newsmaker line, Dr. Fred Campbell from the UT Health San Antonio system. Dr. Campbell, good afternoon to you.
Hey, it's great to be back, Jack.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. There's so many different counts or tallies for coronavirus. What would be the number, or which set of numbers would be the one that would prompt the governor to say he's seeing red flags?
I have a number of colleagues that perform in the intensive care units trying to keep COVID-19 patients alive on ventilators and in situations where they are trying to avoid intubation and ventilators, and they are very, very alarmed at the incredible spike in both hospital admissions and also ICU admissions, of course, and then, of course, ventilators after that. So those are numbers that are the crux, I think, of why the governor would be concerned at this point.
And when you say that there's been a spike in admissions and in ICU admissions, what would typically be the, if there's such a thing as a typical patient, what is the typical patient who's admitted to the hospital but not ICU versus the one that goes into intensive care?
Quite often people will be admitted to the hospital because they have characteristic symptoms of COVID-19, but they don't necessarily have oxygen levels, saturation levels, that are pre-critical. We know from looking at patients over the last several months that an oxygen saturation level can drop very rapidly and lead to a cardiac arrest or cardiorespiratory arrest within a matter of a few minutes. And the doctors are admitting patients, putting them in a situation where they're not in an ICU necessarily, but have a much higher threshold for bringing those people into the hospital if it looks like there's a chance of deterioration in terms of their respiratory system.
So would you say that we are more aggressive in hospitalizing or less aggressive than we were, say, in March, or is that not something you can really speak to generally?
My impression of what's been happening with the COVID-19 infections leads me to believe that doctors are erring very much on the side of precaution right now. They have seen far too many people deteriorate so rapidly that that they're not able to save them, that they're willing to let people into the hospital that are not critical, but that have signs suggesting that that could happen very quickly, and that particularly in situations where there is a high-risk patient, an older patient, or a patient with multiple chronic medical problems that deteriorate rapidly.
We're talking with Dr. Fred Campbell from the UT Health San Antonio system on KTSA. Now, a couple of things I've been reading lately, and, you know, it's always dangerous when we lay people read about your profession. I'm sure you love that. But I've been curious about the issue of some doctors saying too many aggressive or premature use of ventilators in some cases, and also different ways of treating people in the hospital, such as having them lie on their stomach as opposed to their back. What can you say about those things?
Unquestionably, there are things that can reduce the tendency for people to worsen and require intubation and ventilator care. And prone positioning, if people can do that, appears to be one of the most effective ways of managing respiratory insufficiency, but before the the critical stage of requiring intubation. So all the things that we've learned so far about COVID-19 that are effective, such as prone positioning, are being used as quickly as possible to try to avoid unnecessary intubation.
And what about the issue? Because I know in talking to friends of mine in medicine, they always say, look, it's a very serious thing when you're intubated. That can have, you know, ramifications for the likelihood that you're going to recover and for how you'll be when you recover. Is there any thought to not as aggressively intubating COVID patients?
That's a very, very important question, and one that I think I have to explain as quick as clearly as possible. And the intubation process means that someone is at a point where if they did not receive that procedure and assisted ventilation, their risk of dying is close to 100%. So the idea that intubating people might not be indicated, to me, in my experience, and certainly with my colleagues, just doesn't happen. We do everything we possibly can to try to avoid that. Intubation is a very uncomfortable process, and that is not something that anybody would wish on anyone else. But these are people who would die otherwise.
But there are measures short of intubation that can help a person breathe or get more oxygen in, things maybe similar to the CPAPs that people are familiar with, right?
Absolutely. Positive pressure ventilation, other forms of ventilation, like I said, the prone positioning, physiotherapy, early ambulation, if that's possible, things that will continue to keep the lungs inflated well, like there's something that you can do with little bottles that you can inhale, and that will keep your lungs open. That's called incentive spirometry. So there are a myriad of ways that great doctors and their physical and respiratory therapists and nurses can do to keep patients to keep patients from having to be intubated.
You know, one theory about this spike is that it may be the result of the two things came together at the same time that you couldn't have foreseen: Memorial Day weekend and all of the protests and demonstrations, right? Is it if that those two things together are driving this spike, when would you expect to see that curve peak? I mean, if that is really what this is about primarily, would you think that in X number of days or weeks, those numbers should sort of level off?
If the Memorial Day weekend had been an isolated event, I believe that the second wave or spike would probably have been waning by this time. Unfortunately, it appears that there have been a number of activities that are going on throughout the month of June that lead me to believe that we're not dealing with one inciting event, but an ongoing series of events that are high risk.
So there may be a point, but it's hard to know when that will come.
You know, I really hope and pray that it will happen within the next few weeks as people look at the numbers and recognize that they are putting their fellow Americans at risk.
Yeah, well said. Dr. Campbell, always appreciate the time. Thanks for coming back with us this afternoon.
Yeah, it's great to be with you. Stay healthy.
Will do. You as well, sir. We'll get to the news here next, and then we've got much more you and I to talk about on 550 and 106.